And so today I want to speak with you on a subject. We are healed. That's the sermon topic today. We are healed. I invite you one more time to let's join hearts together and pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, your children are here. Long before any of us showed up, you were here. And still now, you are here. This is your house. You have opened the door. You have welcomed us in. And we are glad to be in this house of worship that is built to honor you, that is built in your name. And we pray that today, Jesus, each of us will register in heaven a genuine praise from right here on earth. We come with our thanksgiving. We come asking you, Lord, to fix us up. Open our eyes. Help us to cultivate that awareness that we are healed. Jesus, you are the one high and lifted up. And through the sounding of my voice, through the preaching of the word, we wish to exalt you again, even now. Jesus, you are God. Holy Father, the Ancient of Days, you are God. Holy Spirit, you are God. And we worship you even now. Please forgive our sins. Speak to our conscience. Speak to our heart. Speak to our seat of intelligence. Speak to our seat of emotion. May we respond favorably to your call to salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a student of prophecy, I know you have concerns when you see what's happening. There's a whole sermon coming on that. I was about to preach that sermon this week. And I reached out to a certain elder. And when he saw the topic, I think it got his attention. He says, "We have communion this Sabbath, you know." And I say, "Yes, elder, let me reverse the topic for this week, you know." It's funny, I checked like maybe 2.5 or 3 weeks ago. I kind of go back and look when the communion services are coming up. But then this one came up and I did not realize it was this weekend until the elder said, well, I guess he saw the topic. So that's a future topic. It's still coming. And you will be blessed by that message, as you know, I already did one run of it. And I've gotten many feedback of people being encouraged. You know, and what we see happening here in the United States, you know, and this is a segue into the sermon. It's telling a little bit, but it's not for God's people to run around getting all, having knee-jerk reaction and getting all fearful. And it's not any of that, because, you know, people can really go off the deep end when they see things. And God has not called us to fanaticism. At the same time, when we see things happening, it's good to pay attention. And as watchwomen, as watchmen, standing on the walls of Zion, we need to direct people heavenward. Three brief things. And like I said, this is not a big part of my sermon today, but I'll start with them because if you're a student of prophecy, I know your eyes are open. We have a president of the United States that no one can tell what to do. And I think that's a good characteristic about a president. A president should know what he or she's about, and they should be able to be about what they're about. But we have a president that, you know, no one can tell him what to do. But a point of surprise for me is that he was insulted by the Pope who just passed. Some of you may or may not know that the Pope insulted him in his first term in office. Pope told him he's not a Christian. And he responded by telling the Pope, "Who are you to judge?" And I thought it was a good response. He could have told the Pope the same thing too. "You're not a Christian, you know. But who are you to judge?" he responded. I think that was a wise response from President Trump. I think that was wise. He said, "Who are you to judge?" And he left it at that. The surprise, though, is that Trump went to his funeral. And you must ask yourself the question, why? Why? I let you figure that out. I won't fill you in. I let you figure that out. Why? So that's one point of observation. One point which was a little bit before. In the year 2015, on 24 September, for the first time in the history of the United States, a pope addressed the Congress. So happened that that pope also was a Jesuit. An order that was banned in the United States, if you know American history, was banned. But that happened in 2015, 24 September. If you have studied American history close enough, you'll know that those who were part of the founding of this nation, they wanted a country, a land, a republic without a king and without a pope. You'll find that playing up in history if you study American history enough. A land without a king and without a pope. Well, it so happens that the current president of the United States actually sent out an AI-generated picture of him being a pope. Full regalia. Few days later, for the first time in the history of the United States, an American cardinal was named Pope of Rome. I want to tell you that's significant. If any of the founding fathers would wake up to this news, they would again instantly die of shock that this nation, the land of Protestantism, the land of civil and religious liberties, would so turn that it is now producing a pope to lead the Roman Catholic Church. That is major. Because America was created against a backdrop of having a republic, a country without a king and without a pope. And we have seen America turn, gone full circle now, providing even a man to fill the seat of Pope of Rome. And I will say that much on that for now. I leave it at that for today. But I'm telling you, we're seeing things happening. And there are some people who grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who questioned everything in the Adventist Church. And they would question the end time prophecies. But I believe we're seeing things now that validate what we've known for 150, 160, 170 years now. We're seeing things happening, and God's children should just draw closer to Jesus. Amen. Amen? Now is the time that if you are planning to backslide, you should have done that in 2024. You know, 2025 is here, so you cannot backslide, no. It's time to get stronger in Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 And so today we are talking about we are healed. What's the most deadly disease known to man right now? If you were to go to the doctor and they tell you that you have this disease, it would cause you a little bit of consternation. What disease is that? Cancer. Oh, cancer is definitely one of them. Which heart disease is another dangerous one. What else? I'll tell you a story to make the point too about another disease. Thank God it's not in Chemung County. But a few years ago, an African man showed up at a hospital in Jamaica. It's a hospital that I know very well. I've done hospital ministries there. It's very near to our Adventist University in Jamaica. Largest English-speaking Adventist university in the world. Northern Caribbean University. That's where I did my undergrad studies. So this man, he's from Africa and he's in Jamaica. And he went to the hospital sneezing, runny nose, all the treatments of COVID, was during COVID time. But there was another virus on the rise that makes COVID look like child's play. And it generally pops up in the Eastern Congo, where there's some of the world's greatest stores of rare earth minerals. And you wonder why the disease always pop up in those places. But this disease is called, and you know the answer. So this African showed up at this hospital in Jamaica, and he had all those symptoms. Doctors, nurses, other health workers fled the hospital. That's how dangerous this disease is. Literally, it made the national news in Jamaica. People ran out. Nobody wanted to get close to the guy. Doctors, professionals, nurses, other health workers fled the hospital. And one lone nurse, true to her calling, went to attend to this man. Turned out, he's an African living in Jamaica for maybe 12 years, and he's never been back to Africa. So he wasn't fresh from Africa. But the problem is, everybody thought he had Ebola. And people were not going to get near Ebola. Because you know, Ebola is deadly. And then you heard of Ebola, it seemed like not too many people. No, that's deadly. We thank God when COVID came, it wasn't Ebola. Because if Ebola got through, maybe none of us would be here. None of us. That one is extremely dangerous, Ebola. It wipes you out real quickly. And so people thought it was Ebola. And so these are some deadly diseases. And yet the Bible says today that we are healed. All right, let's look in the verse. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. And let's take a look at scriptures here and see what God's word says. Isaiah chapter 53. Scripture reading was nicely read for us, verses 3 through to 5. Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Here comes the punchline. And with his stripes we are healed. Then the Bible says we are healed. How come we're sick? This same prophet, way back in chapter 1, says the whole head is sick. How can he be saying we're healed through the stripes of Christ and yet we're sick? How do we reconcile the two? And with his stripes, we are healed. And that's the present progressive. It's an ongoing healing. It's happening to us. With his stripe, we are healed. I want to ask you the question today, are you healed? And then it would be wise that somewhere in there you ask the question, healed from what? Amen. The most deadly disease on earth is not SARS-CoV, it's not cancer. The most deadly disease on earth is not Ebola. The most deadly disease on earth is S-I-N. Sin. As a matter of fact, every problem on earth, physical, mental, spiritual, pollution, any problem on earth and every problem on earth is because of the presence of sin. They are all byproducts of sin. The literal dying and going to the grave is a byproduct of sin. The wages of sin is the second death.
And so when the prophet Isaiah is speaking here about the suffering servant, the coming Messiah who would die for us, he presented this Messiah in verse 5 by saying he was wounded. And think about Jesus. We can put the word Jesus in there because we know it's him where we have those personal pronouns. So we can say, but Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. And by the stripes of Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, we're healed. What a Jesus is Jesus. There's nobody else like him. There's no other Savior but Christ. Jesus paid the price for your sins and for mine that we might be healed. The question is, are we accepting this physician, divine physician in our hearts and lives and experience afresh today? With his stripes, we are healed. You know, in Sabbath school this morning, we had a review where we reflected upon the fact of a ticket bought gives you the right. It's like an agreement, a contract, a promissory note that you'll be able to travel at the appointed time. And think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Before any of us here was ever born, he died for us. He paid the price for our sins in full. As a matter of fact, Revelation 13 verse 8. You don't get to Revelation 13 and see all those dangerous beasts, the sea beast and the earth beast. Two powerful end time beasts there. In the middle of those beasts is verse 18. Verse 8. And it says in Revelation 13 verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's from how long he has made the pledge to die for us. From the very foundation of the world. That's how long ago Jesus made this commitment. And 2,000 years ago, the event took place for which the year 2025, our time is named, Jesus Christ actually came to earth and ratified that promise by dying the death upon Calvary for us. Took the stripes, our stripes, took the stripes, the second death, the punishment for sin. Jesus took those stripes and he has placed healing beside our names. But will we take him up on that offer? Will we cash in on that prize? In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the heavenly angel told Joseph, you know, not to put away his wife. But he says, your wife, she's going to have a son. And you're going to call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sin. And that's where we are healed today. Jesus already paid the price for our sins. And so we don't have to walk around wallowing in our sins, because Jesus has already paid the price to buy us out of sin and to have us clothed in his righteousness so we can enjoy God's salvation. It says here at the end of verse 5, and by Jesus' stripes, by Christ's stripes, we are healed. And by his stripes, we are healed. And anyone that will come to Jesus, anyone that will accept Jesus, will find instant forgiveness of their sins, from their sins, and will receive the power of God in the life. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek and to all them that believe. It is the power of God unto salvation. And today God is offering us that salvation once again. He has paid
the price in full. In full. Many of you ever been to a 5-star hotel? They can cost some money, right? Wouldn't it be nice that you show up at the best one in the world and only to find out that the price is paid in full? And I'll just share an experience then. So, I've been reaching out to my home insurance company because I thought I had a bill from them. And they jacked that thing up by maybe 51%. They increased that thing. So I call and say, hey guy, what's going on? Oh, it's a New York thing. You know, they're going to tell you it's a New York thing and the prices went up. But anyways, I'm calling and trying to make the payment. And the guy on the other end of the phone, Ken, he says, it's paid. I said, no, I've been calling to make the payment. He said, no, it's paid. I said, well, you tell me, what's the credit card that paid? I want to know who paid it. And so he said, yeah, it's paid. It's a check. I said, no, I didn't write you a check. So I don't know who could pay this. I didn't write you a check. And so he even gave me the check number. I said, man, I don't know. I didn't write you a check. So I don't know who it can be paid. So yesterday, I finally got the opportunity to go to the bank, you know, the lender. And I said, man, did you pay that check? Because they tell me it's paid. I'm trying to pay it, and they say it's paid. And sure enough, the bank paid it, you know, as a part of the escrow funds. So it was fully paid. It was a good feeling. That's nearly $1,300 I don't have to pay. It's already paid. That was a good thing, you know. I mean, it's still my money because I have to pay that bank, right? But it was paid. It was a good feeling. Very good feeling. Well, I want to tell you that there's much better news than that for you today. Christ didn't only pay $1,300 or $1,259, whatever it was. Christ paid for your full trip to heaven. No credit card information needed. You don't need to send him a check. And like these prosperity preachers on TV, you don't need to send a seed to heaven. No. Jesus paid the way for your full trip there. And you don't have to get in touch with Elon Musk to go on one of his spaceships to get out there. Jesus will see you through. Amen? Your trip, your passage to heaven is fully paid. For all the stops on the way to, for your sightseeing. You want to see some of those galaxies on the way up to heaven? It's all fully paid. Jesus has paid it all. And here he says, by his stripes and by his stripes, we are healed. You know, the greatest miracle that can ever take place is the miracle of a transformed life. Where we accept Jesus Christ and allow him to transform us from sinners to become disciples of Christ, saints of the Most High God. And Jesus is busy doing that work every day. So I sat there in Sabbath school today and I got a little bit of a thought. I said, man, we're always paying attention to news out of Washington. And then occasionally we pay attention to some news out of the Vatican. But wouldn't it be more beneficial to us if we constantly get news out of the heavenly sanctuary? If we keep our focus on Christ and what he's doing there in our behalf. By faith, we can go to heaven every day, you know. We can actually live the very atmosphere of heaven right here on earth. Fully charged by the Holy Spirit as we go about school and work and retirement and recreation and whatever we have to do. We can live the life of Christ right here, right now. What do you say? We, by his stripes, we are healed. You know, we had some situation of cancer at Vestal Hills Church a little while ago. And we had prayer and anointing for one sister who had cancer. And when she went back, that cancer was gone. 100% cured by God. Miracle. Miracle. Never ever had to do anything about that cancer because it's gone. Well, that same lady had a sister. She also came down with cancer. And we prayed for that sister and anointed her just like we did her sister. She died. She didn't recover from that cancer. I mean, it's the same God we pray to. It's the same Bible texts and passages we look at. It's the same encouragement. It's the same anointing. God had a choice in the matter, didn't he?
And he know what is best. Whatever God does, he does it right the first time. And he knows how to answer. So that's cancer. And you know, some of us may have known some people who died from COVID. And other diseases, heart attack, stroke, and all this different kind of a stuff. Close friend of mine just buried his sister 2 Fridays ago. Died by suicide. People are dying in so many different ways, you know. Yet the word is telling us today that we are healed. That we are healed. Jesus, that suffering servant. And by the way, when it tells us in verse 2 here of Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This does not mean that Jesus was ugly at all. No, he was not ugly. Savior looked good. Good looking guy. Maybe had a six pack. Yeah, he was a good looking guy. When it says there's no beauty that we should desire him, it's talking about he didn't attend Harvard. So he didn't have one of those Ivy League PhDs. He didn't attend Cornell. He didn't attend the seminary at Andrews. And you can name institution. That's what it meant for him. He didn't have those outward trappings. The things of this earth that we call prestige. Jesus didn't have that. As a matter of fact, he was born on the wrong sides of the track. He was born in the inner city, Nazareth, that had a reputation. When you say you came from Nazareth, people begin to take over. That was a reputation, and that's where Jesus was born. See, he did that by choice. He wanted to show to the world that even what society call the lowest of the low people, he wants them to be his disciples. And he paid the price that everyone can be healed. And so no one had excuse. The poor couldn't say, I'm too poor to follow God. Or the rich man couldn't say, well, I need wealth to follow God. No, Jesus made it so that every single person, boy, girl, youth, young adult, man, woman, everyone can step on board and become his disciples and find that healing from sin. What a Jesus is Jesus. And I've said it to you before and I'll say it today again. One of the differences between true Bible religion and the other religions of the world, the religions of the world, the gods of those religions demand a sacrifice from its followers. But the God of the Bible sacrificed himself for his followers. And I say praise be to Jesus today. He paid the price for you and for me. Jesus paid the price to redeem us from sin. And declared through the prophet Isaiah, God is salvation, that we are healed. I wonder if we can leave church today with the assurance of salvation. I wonder if we can leave church today knowing that we are blessed. We are special. We are sons and daughters of God. I wonder if we can leave church today knowing that we are in the journey to heaven. We are healed. It's not something in the future. It's something right now. The prophet says, as long as we come to this suffering servant Christ, as long as we see in him the God that he is and surrender our lives to him, we are healed. What a Jesus is Jesus. I don't have to go live in defeatism and feel like the devil has anything on me. I can actually go in the name of Jesus Christ and be a conqueror. Amen? Christ is conqueror. And I was doing Bible studies. And one person said, you know, my child or one of my children is gay. And they are never going to change. And, you know, my work is not to argue with people or win arguments. That's futile. That's what the lesson call it? Futile sacrifice. We're not called to win debate with anybody. We're called to point people. And I simply said to the parent present, you know, God can change anyone and everyone, and he wants to change everyone. And that's why we as Christians, we don't debate about how we were born. We all born messed up. But thank God, Jesus is offering to us the born again experience. And when we're born again, it doesn't matter if you're gay, adulterer, Sabbath breaker, thief, drunkard, prostitute. When you're born again, that's what matters. Amen? Because Jesus will clean us up and fix us up, and we can declare that we are healed. That's how great God is. He can give us power over that alcohol, power over cigarette and marijuana. He can give us power over lying and swearing. Jesus gives power. He gives the victory. He is all powerful. And I think what we need to do is to spend more time reflecting on Christ, and we'll come away with more victories. Amen? We are healed. He has paid the price. And none of us has any good reason why we should be lost. We have every reason why we should be saved. Jesus paid the price for us. And he wants us to be saved. There's no one in this world, no one in this universe that values you more than Jesus Christ, that values you more than the Holy Spirit, that values you more than the Ancient of the Age. God loves you, not because of anything you have or anything you are. God loves you because you exist. What a God we serve. Unconditional love. You don't have to look so handsome as CJ for God to love you. Amen. He loves you anyhow. Amen. It doesn't matter. God loves you. And what we need to do is just come to Jesus. Amen. What a Jesus we serve. He says today, you are healed. The question is, will you believe him? Will you believe God today when he says, you are healed? Can you take God at his word today? Oh man, this Jesus we serve, he really went the whole way for us. And he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He says, if you go through the fire, I'm going to be there with you. You go through the flood waters, I'm going to be there with you. What a promise. And I have found that to be true. Took one flight one time, 15 hours approximately one way. And it doesn't, I flew across continents. And you know what? God was right there with me. Everywhere I travel on this earth, God has been there with me. I've been to, I think, what is it, 45 or 46 of the lower 48. And in every state, God has been with me. When I was in Canada, East Coast, West Coast, wherever, God was with me. And when I was standing with two robbers over me, could I died like Jesus between two thieves? God was still there with me. And he's the very reason I'm present here today. I want you to know that God is not leaving you alone. So even sometimes, even if you're home alone and think you're alone, you have company. You have company. Holy angels. God the Father, who is omnipresent. Jesus Christ, who is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, and he actually took up residence on earth when Christ needed to go back to heaven to do a special work. Holy Spirit all is here with us, and he's telling us today, we are healed. God is telling us to claim that, to affirm that, to have that assurance today. We are healed. There's no sin that is greater than the grace of Jesus Christ. No sin. And here's a text for you. And this one I would like you to keep close. And when the devil tries you and you feel the pressures, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And right toward the end of Romans chapter 16. I want to look at verse 20, I think is the verse I'm looking for. Yes, it says, And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. What a promise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Claim your healing today. Rise up out of sin today. Flee to Jesus Christ today. He's in the heavenly cathedral. He's in the heavenly sanctuary. He's there and he's asking you to come up to him in faith and claim the victory. We are healed. Well, I want to say that if God can deal with the sin problem, what other problem there is that he can't fix? And know that you worth, you value that much to God. That when there was no other way for God to save us, God folded up himself into a little bundle of human flesh. Born in Bethlehem, in the feeding trough of an animal. Named Jesus Christ because he would save us from our sins. Worked in his family home to help to put bread on the table. At 12, he was well versed in the scriptures, taught by his mother, homeschooled. Never went to the school of Gamaliel or the school of Hillel, the two powerful theology schools of his country. Homeschooled. And at 12, he was asking these Harvard graduates, these Stanford graduates, these MIT graduates, these Cornell graduates. He was asking these graduates from Andrews Theological Seminary questions. That is a boy, we don't know how to answer these. And these were PhD. Holders that couldn't answer a 12-year-old question. This Jesus, he loves you with an everlasting love. Then at age 30, went on out to John the Baptist and got baptized. Have you been baptized by immersion in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Jesus went out and got baptized. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that's one of the things that puzzled me personally. Because we baptize people because they are repenting of sins. Jesus had no sin to repent of. Why did he get baptized? Perhaps some people like the thief on the cross who got converted. And he couldn't go to get water baptized, but Jesus baptized for him. Jesus went to get baptized. Have you ever really wrestled with that yourself? Of any person? Why would Jesus get baptized? This is the perfect, the only human being who never needed a savior. Never sinned, not even one time. And yet he got baptized. And then after he got baptized, the man disappeared. Mary didn't know where he was. None of the disciples knew where he was. Disappeared. Could he have been kidnapped? Could he have been human trafficked? Disappeared. And young John was but a teenager. The John who wrote the book of Revelation, the Gospel of John, the Epistles of John. Young John actually went to look for Jesus. And it is the writings of Ellen White tells us that he did find Jesus. After some days, maybe weeks of searching. And he found Jesus all emaciated. From fasting. Eating nothing. Out there in the desert. Out there in the wilderness. And Jesus dismissed John. Because John shouldn't see him in that state. And simply take pity for him. And then Jesus, roughly 6 weeks later, came back on the scene. And opened up his public ministry. And for 3.5 years, Jesus emptied every hospital in Chemung County. Everybody was healed. Ebola was healed. Coronavirus was healed. Cancer was healed. High blood pressure gone. No more arthritis, diabetes. All the people, optometrists, they all went out of business. Nobody wore eyeglasses anywhere again in town. People got 20/20 vision. I mean, the whole place, people didn't have any employment in those fields anymore because Jesus cleaned up the whole place.
villages, cities. He went about doing good. And man, even the mortuary owners didn't like Jesus too much because he was raising the dead. And they were losing business burying people. Jesus was bringing them back to life. So he wasn't very well liked by those mortuary owners because he was putting them out of business. You imagine Jesus coming through the town and there's not a sick person left? He did that. For 3.5 years, he went door to door helping the people. He went town to town, village to village, teaching the kingdom of God and calling people to repentance. And how did we pay him for doing all that? We, you notice I said we. How did we pay him for doing all of that? Man, the human heart is truly desperately wicked above all things. That's why Jesus gives us the born again experience and gives us a new heart. Because after 3.5 years of doing that, we all shouted, "Crucify him." What should I do with this guy? Pilate asked. We all shouted, "Crucify him. Away with him from the earth. It's better for one man to perish than for the United States to fall. Let's get rid of this Jesus. Better one man to die than all the people of Chemin County face occupation by the Russians or the Chinese. Away with this Jesus. Away with him from the face of the earth." And we all mocked his dying agonies. And yet Jesus was saying these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he drank that bitter cup for you and for me. He was tasting of the second death for you and for me, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus paid the price. And I'm glad that he didn't stay dead, because then came Sunday morning, and in mighty triumph, Jesus arose from the grave, and he asked that question that stung all of hell. He said, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" And so my Jesus has the keys of death and hell in his pockets. So I'm so glad to tell you today that not even in charge of hell the devil is. He's not even in charge of hell. Jesus is. Amen. As a matter of fact, the devil is trembling about when he will be thrown in hell. Because it's going to be a very dissolving affair. You know when you mix some salt into water and it disappears because it's the same color? A day is coming when the devil will be dissolved. The elements will melt with fervent heat. So whatever elements make up, you know, we know about carbon and all that stuff down here. We don't know what the angels are constructed of. But the fire that Jesus will start will melt fallen angels. Will melt the devil. And he'll become ashes under our feet on this earth. And he'll be obliterated. And sin and sinners and Satan will be no more. All the children of God will live happily ever after in the kingdom of God. I want to say, why don't we accept Jesus today afresh? And if we haven't done so yet, to do it for the first time today. Why don't we take up Christ on that offer and walk out of this place claiming that blessing? We are healed. That's the end of my little time with you from this position now. We're going to pray. And we want to go do that ordinance of humility, remembering our lovely Jesus, how he washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, Jesus. You're not going to wash my feet. You're humbling yourself too much now. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're none of mine." Peter says, "Oh, Jesus, wash my whole body, head and all." Jesus says, "Peter, if I wash your feet, it's good enough. I don't have to wash your head." And in John chapter 15, let me show you that verse before we close this. John chapter 15, because this is something I think you should put in your psyche, put in your consciousness. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You have heard God's word today, where the prophet Isaiah says, we are healed. So even as we go wash one another's feet now, claim that blessing in the name of Jesus. We are healed. And Jesus says, you are already clean because of the words that I have spoken unto you. Let's pray. We thank you, great God of heaven, the ancient of days, loving Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, divine God. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the assurance of salvation today. Thank you for the blessed peace and your word unto us that we are healed. Thank you, Jesus, that you're saying to us that we are already clean because of the word that you have spoken unto us. Please, Lord, declare your healing from sin, your salvation over us today. And Father, we even pray for physical healing as well, mental healing as well. Make us whole today, Jesus. And as we go on to do the ordinance of humility, washing one another's feet, we pray that we'll do so reverently and timely. And we'll get back here, Lord, to wrap up the service with the emblems, Jesus, that represent your broken body and your spilled blood for us. And it will have true meaning to us today. Please forgive our sins. Please transform us. Give us the born again experience. Fill us with your spirit. Clothe us with your righteousness. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.